Live via satellite from Hollywood and New York City. It's Rockline, the show where you ask the questions for the biggest stars in rock and roll. Well, hello again. I'm Bob Coburn, your host for Rockline, brought to you in part by Budweiser, the king of beers, and by the U.S. Army Reserve. Tonight is a special double bill Rockline with Def Leppard and John Butcher Axis. I'm here in our Hollywood studio. Our guests are at our New York City affiliate, WPLJ. It's party time tonight at Rockline, what with this being our 100th show, so we'd especially like to hear from you tonight. The number is toll-free. It's nationwide, too. Just call 800-421-3222. One of the best bands around, Def Leppard, is currently pummeling American record charts. Their song Photograph from their third LP, Pyromania, is currently number one across the board. And Rockline welcomes from Def Leppard, Joe Elliott. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Glad to have you here. We also have Steve Steeman Clark, one of the guitar players. Hi, Steve.
Good evening.
The newest member of Def Leppard, Phil Collin, joins us tonight. Hello, Phil.
How are you?
We have also Rick Savage, further known as Sav from now on. Hi, Rick.
Hiya.
Or Sav, I should say. And the other Rick in the band, Mr. Rick Allen. Glad to have you here this evening.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I understand that you're, you've been on tour with Billy Squire, but I understand that you're about to embark on your first headlining tour of the U.S. We'll give the dates for that later, the first time those dates have been given out. What are your feelings about playing for the first time? I understand that at one point you said that America has really never seen the full Def Leppard show because you've been opening for other people.
Yeah, that's true. We've been coming here since 1980, and we've supported various bands like Ozzy and Blackfoot and Nugent and what have you. And it'll be nice actually to give people the opportunity to see us doing our full show. We're really looking forward to it, actually.
We'll look forward to it too, and we'll announce those dates a little bit later on Rockline. For right now, from the LP Pyromania, this is Photograph by Def Leppard. Photograph, great song from Def Leppard from the LP Pyromania. We'll have more coming up with Def Leppard, plus a little later on, John Butcher Axis. We'll have the announcement also of Def Leppard's upcoming tour dates, which will be the first that you've heard that. And you can join us on the show. Just call toll-free, 800-421-3222. Live via the satellite from Hollywood and New York City, it's Rockline in progress in the Global Satellite Network. Our first phone call this evening for Def Leppard from Houston, Texas. Our affiliate is KLOL, and we have Lisa on the line. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Need a question from you, please, Lisa.
Okay, why did it take a year after High and Dry for Pyromania to be released?
Sorry, what?
Good question, actually. This is Sav, the bass player. We spent a long time actually getting the songs right in the studio in what you might call pre-production. It basically didn't take as long as a year, because we had a hell of a lot of breaks in between, and as you know, the personnel change and what have you, and that's basically the reason for it.
Thanks for the answer there, Sav. Good question from Lisa in Houston. We now go to Tustin, California. Jim is on the line. He's listening to KLOS. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Def Leppard, waiting to see you out here in Irvine Meadows. I got front row tickets. My question is, what do you mean by when you say that Def Leppard's a working class band?
Basically, this is Joe, hi. Basically, because we all come from a working class area, we were just fortunate enough to break out of there quite quickly. We all used to work in factories and things and make drills and drive vans and what have you. And we were just lucky enough to get the break when we started out and to end up where we are at the moment. But the roots of the band are definitely working class.
It's good.
I mean, we still are, in a sense.
Let's go to Kansas City this time for KY102, who has Mark listening, and Mark is now on Rockline. Hi.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Hi there.
Hello there.
Hey, my question is, what happened to Pete Willis, and how did you get Phil Collin out of Girl as his replacement?
Good question.
Well, this is Steve, by the way. We chose Phil when Pete wasn't playing us anymore because we'd known him as a friend for a good couple of years, and we used to go and see Girl play, and Girl used to come and see Def Leppard play. And Phil had come out of a two-guitar band, so it was just a natural choice to replace Pete, but the reason Pete left were just personal problems between him and the group, which we can't really go into. But that's just what happened.
Sometimes that happens, and this next song seems appropriate after that from the LP High and Dry, Let It Go. From the second LP by Def Leppard, Let It Go on Rockline and the Global Satellite Network, we now have listening to WAVA, Michelle from Manassas. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right.
Okay. Good. This question is for Joe. And first, I want to say I love you. And I've been reading about how you had problems with your voice when you're recording Pyromania. Mm. And I was wondering what you're doing different now that you're on the road so that the problems don't come back and so you don't lose your voice.
Well, what happened in actual fact was I got laryngitis in the studio, so the fact is that as long as I don't catch it again, because I caught it through a virus, I'm going to be fine. In actual fact, I've just got rid of it because I caught it in Belgium when we did the European tour. But it's one of those things, it's just like getting a cold or catching flu. Occasionally you get it, occasionally you don't. I hope I don't get it anymore. But when you do have it, it makes it difficult to sing because the schedule that the band's working to... when I have got laryngitis, most of the time I have to actually sing with it, so all the time it should be getting better, it's not actually getting the chance to because we're always performing, but now it's better and it's fine, so as long as I don't catch a bug again, which, or whatever, I'm going to be fine, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Thank you, Joe and Michelle. All five members of Def Leppard are at WPLJ in New York City. That's what Yvonne is listening to. She's in New Jersey, and now she's in the show. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello there.
Hello there.
In which ways do you think American audiences differ from European? And I'd like to know how long Steve has been playing guitar.
Well, I've been playing guitar seriously since I was about 12. But as far as American audiences go, obviously they're a lot bigger than English audiences. And that's not in weight, by the way. I think people in America just tend to come to the show and have a good time. And the whatever group's playing, they come to see the package rather than specifically to see one group play. Where in England you get certain sectors of fans who just live for one group, which doesn't tend to happen on the same scale in America.
Does it take a little while longer to warm up a European crowd as opposed to an American crowd?
Yeah, it does. This is Joe. It does in places like France because they don't understand what you're saying for a start. So, especially for me, having to introduce the songs and what have you. What tends to happen is when you finish a song, in America, for example, when you're playing the big places, it can take about 2 minutes for the crowd to, like, start quietening down. Whereas in Europe, it's literally about 3 or 4 seconds, because I think the reason they do that is they're listening out for what the singer in a band, in our case, it's me, is what he's actually saying, because they don't understand English often. The only words that they understand are rock and roll, party, yeah, and woo. That's about it, you know. And as long as you keep doing that, you can get on with the European audience. In England, obviously, it's different because it's English, but in places like Sweden and Germany and France, it's a case of you've just got to talk really slowly and hope that some of the people understand what you're saying.
Well, after that, I only have one thing to say. Rock, rock, till you drop. Def Leppard on Rockline and the Global Satellite Network. Rock, rock, till you drop from their third LP, Pyromania. Like to be on the show? We'd love to hear from you. Just give us a call, toll-free, 800-421-3222. That is nationwide. More with Def Leppard after this on Rockline. One of our previous guests on Rockline, Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker. We're back live via satellite from Hollywood and New York City. Our next phone call for Def Leppard from Minneapolis, 92 KQRS is our affiliate. We have Mary on. Hi.
Hello,
hi.
Hi. You guys are definitely number one.
Oh, thank you. Nice to hear it. Thanks.
Okay, my question is, what's the most interesting thing that happened to you on your European tour?
Good question.
Everybody getting flu.
Yeah, basically, actually, that's a good answer. Yeah. Rick, you can.
This is Rick, by the way. I try to play the drums. we all got flu. We had this really cold dressing room one night in Belgium or somewhere, and we'd just come off stage. And of course, when you're sweating and everything, you don't realise how sort of cold it is, the atmosphere around you. So everybody went down with flu. So that was.
That sums up Europe.
Yeah, Europe is flu-ridden.
The Def Leppard infirmary tour, yeah.
Another interesting thing was the fact that we had a game of soccer against some Frenchmen, and we beat them 13-3. That was fun.
All right.
Oh, tear gas.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Tear gas.
Switzerland.
Yeah, we did a gig. Thank you. We're getting reminded by people left, right, and centre here. We did a gig in Geneva.
Yeah, Switzerland.
And we were about 4 songs into the set, and half the audience left. And we thought, hey, you know, we're not this bad. We couldn't really figure out what had happened until, like, halfway through this song, when the crowd left, like, at the beginning, and halfway through, it was like, we all started sneezing and things. and crying and getting really depressed. And, like, the emotion coming out of the vocals was, and everything was, like, it was really intense. And what it was somebody let off a tear gas canister in the audience.
Oh, good group.
And we ended up singing about the next four songs, stood right against the back line. We didn't go anywhere near the front of the stage. It disappeared. The crowd came back in. And then another 15, 20 minutes later, this idiot, and that's the nicest word I can say on the air, did it again. And we all, like, you know, started crying. We constantly had to keep wiping ourselves with wet towels.
We started saying, what a silly boy.
Yes, yes. And when we came off stage, in actual fact, it was really embarrassing because I couldn't stop crying for no reason at all. For 45 minutes, I was crying like a little baby and I had to go and sit in the shower with all my clothes on.
This happens every night, by the way.
Yeah, right. Some kind of tour, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, apart from making you cry, this stuff really burns your face. And so, literally, I had to kind of run into the shower straight off stage and just get cold water on you, which didn't help either. That probably brought the flu on.
Consequently, it was a gas.
Yeah. I think it's time to move on here. Let's go to Oklahoma City. We have listening to Rock 100, The Cat. Are you ready for this? This is Barefoot. Hi.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
What do your parents think of your success, and how long do you tour at times?
Oh, this is Phil. Yeah, everyone's knocked out by it. We're going to be touring for about the next 6 months, I think. I think we've got the rest of America to do in our headline show. We'll tell you the dates in a minute, actually.
In fact, let's do that now. Let's do that now. Why don't you give the dates for the cities that are carrying Rockline? I guess there are a lot more cities that you'll be going to, but here's the highlights. And first ever to be announced on Rockline, the Def Leppard headline tour.
Right, May the 2nd, we're in Norman, Oklahoma. May the 8th, what's that say?
Dallas.
May the 9th, San Antonio. May the 10th, Houston. May the 15th, Birmingham.
Alabama.
May the 21st, Jacksonville. May the 22nd, Lakeville, Florida. May the 27th, Knoxville. May the 29th, Louisville. June the 2nd, Hampton, Virginia. And June the 3rd, Largo, Maryland.
There's a lot more dates, but they're basically the dates that will cover the people that are listening tonight. We're going to be touring until 15th of September.
Yeah.
And then we're off to the Far East to do Japan and Australia and Thailand and anywhere else. And then we think we're doing some dates in Germany when we've finished over here. But going back to what you said before, thing about the parents and what have you, Everybody's parents is really knocked out. That at first, I think everybody's mum and dad in general, my mum and dad especially, it was always the classic, why don't you get yourself a proper job? But as soon as they started seeing the cuttings in the press and what have you, they kind of, without telling you, they used to cut them out and stick them in a scrapbook. So everybody's parents are really...
And also, they just got the first gold album, Fry and Dry, and they were really knocked out, and they got the
receipt. We all got them, as mums and dads, when the Iron Dry album went gold, we all got them one, because in the early days, the very early days, they helped us out tremendously with money and things like that, and telling lies to people why we weren't turning up at work, because we'd just been, you know, 200 miles away doing a gig. And so we basically gave them a lot of help. Sorry, they gave us a lot of help, and so we gave them the gold disc.
So look out, coming to your town soon, the Rock Brigade, Def Leppard.
Yeah, and we'd just like to mention that the special guest on the tour is a European man called Crocus.
Def Leppard Rock Brigade on Rockline on the Global Satellite Network. Time for our next call now. We have Paul on the line in Champaign, Illinois, listening to WPGU. Paul, you're on Rockline.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, fine.
Yeah, I import albums or singles.
This is Joe. The only songs that have not gone out on the albums, I'll try and go through them from the beginning, is the original EP that we did. We did a self-finance record, which had the studio version of a song called Get Your Rocks Off, which there's a live version of on the On Through the Night album. There's a song called Overture, which is on the album, which is it's on the On Through the Night album. There's the original version that is on the EP, and there's a song called Riding Into the Sun, which never got anywhere other than the EP. And the only other songs I can think of is a song called Good Morning Freedom, which was the B-side of the single Hello America in England and possibly Europe as well, I'm not sure. And a song called Me and My Wine, which is the B-side of Bring On the Heartbreak. They're the only songs we've ever done that have not gone on albums.
So there are a couple there, though. Let's go to Pittsburgh now. WDVE is our affiliate. We have Julie on. Hi, Julie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Listen, a lot of people in Pittsburgh, we love your music, but we're wondering why you don't include the lyrics, like lyric sheets, in your albums. It's not really hard to understand, but it's easier to read them, you know? The lyrics, to sing along. Is there any reason why you don't include them?
This is Joe. There's no real reason. We put the lyrics on the first album. After the album had been out, we kind of we didn't like the fact that I think what it was is like I was very young when we wrote the lyrics for the first album, and it kind of got embarrassing after a while. We wanted to do a different kind of liner bag for the second album, one which had more photographs of the band, because there wasn't many photographs of us around, so we did a kind of different inside sleeve for the second album. The third album, there was no real reason why we didn't do it. We just didn't really think it was that important. We weren't aware that there was such a demand for it. I think what we're going to try and do is maybe set something up through the fan club, so people that want lyrics can sort that out. In England, in actual fact, the cassette came out with the lyric sheet and the album didn't. But I've seen the American cassette recently, and that didn't have the lyrics with it. But if you're lucky enough to get a cassette import of the Pyromania album, you'll get one with the lyrics. But like I said, there was no real reason behind it. We just didn't realise that people were that into having the actual lyrics printed. Obviously, we know better now, so we'll sort it out for the next album.
Let's see what Ed has on his mind. He's in Montgomery, Alabama, listening to 95 Rock in Birmingham. Hi, Ed.
I just want to tell y'all I'll definitely be in Birmingham May 15th.
Good.
Great.
There's a song y'all do on Pyromania. It's called Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign words at the beginning of that song. I have to name those. Figure those out. What's that mean?
That's it. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything. It's like the old English saying, why is a duck? Because one of its legs are both the same. No, there's no... it was just like, when we did that song, it's a real Mickey take. And when I say Mickey take, that probably doesn't mean anything in America. It's like... it's just a big 3-minute lump of fun that we did in the studio. And the beginning bit, when it was counted in, rather than 1, 2, 3, 4, we ended up with that. And I say that meaning the demented Swedish chef. And
there was another count as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, we had loads of them. I don't know. It doesn't
originally, this is Steve, there were guitar cues for me to start the song off. And rather than just go 1, 2, 3, 4, as Joe said, we had all these different cues in different languages, and we thought that was the best, and why not leave it on?
It's interesting, actually. We had a letter from somebody from somewhere in America that had their German teacher to translate it, which was hilarious, because it isn't German, it isn't any language, and they translated it as running through the forest silently. So I suppose it could mean that if, you know, depending on how many drugs you've done, but it doesn't actually mean anything. It was just a bit of fun, really.
Well, what you hear is what you got. Rock of Ages, Def Leppard. Pyromania, the third by Def Leppard, Rock of Ages on Rockline. Back to the telephones we go. Lexington, Kentucky is where our next call is from. Listening to Double Q there, we have Jenny on the line. Hi, Jenny.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Hello there.
How you doing?
All right.
Okay, I just want to know, what do you think sets Def Leppard apart from the other heavy metal bands?
This is Phil here. I think we've got a lot more melody in our songs than a lot of other hard rock bands. I think that's about it, really.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one, Phil. I think this next song is a fine example of that. From your second LP, High and Dry, this is Bringin' On the Heartbreak by Def Leppard. Bringin' On the Heartbreak, Def Leppard, our guest right now on Rockline. A little later, we'll be joined by John Butcher, Axis, and a week from tonight, The Tubes. We'll continue our 100th show. Like to hear from you, toll-free, 800-421-3222. More with Def Leppard right after this. We're back live from Hollywood and New York City. It's Rockline on the Global Satellite Network. We're with Def Leppard right now. Our next phone call from Oakland, listening to The Quake in the Bay Area. There we have Dion. Hi. Dion, are you there?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Okay.
Hello there.
Hi. Hi, Joe, Stephen, Phil, Sav, and Rick.
Hi. Thanks.
Hello.
I got two questions. First, how much control does Mudland, your producer, have over your sound? And two, is it as spontaneous and honest as it sounds, or is production really a big part of it?
Mutt's contribution to the album is quite big, but it's no bigger than any other producer's contribution, I don't think. It's just that we're a little bit more honest than other bands, as whereas if he does something, then we're not afraid to credit him for it. He does have a lot of control over the sounds, because he's such a great engineer and producer that his track record alone is not worth arguing about. So basically, we allow him to get on with things like the mixes, but when it comes to recording the songs and thinking up the sounds that we want, it's a complete band decision between the five members of the band and Mutt. So he does get a certain amount of control over it, of course he does, because that's his job, but we do put a fair amount of input into it as well. As for the sound that's created, when you're doing an album, you have to try and make it sound as spontaneous and as exciting as you can, and it's very difficult in the studio to actually be as exciting or as excited when you're doing it as when you're playing a live show, because there's no audience or anything in a studio, and it's really a pretty boring atmosphere. But it's hard work to try and create a sound which sounds spontaneous. But I mean, like, I think we achieved that on Pyromania.
I think I'd agree with that. Let's go to Peoria now. WWCT is our station there. We have Mark on. Hi, Mark.
Hello, how are you guys all doing tonight?
Alright, yeah.
Hello there.
Alright, first of all, I want to say I really enjoy your music, and I just got the album Pyromania, and I really enjoy it.
Great, thanks.
Okay, and I'd like to know which album, as a band, that you guys enjoy doing more, Pyromania or High and Dry, and why?
Well, it's a good question, actually. It's just Sav, the bass player. I don't think you can actually put one in front of the other. It's just another part of the job in actual fact. High and Dry didn't take as long as Pyromania, but it's almost impossible to say which one we enjoyed doing more. I think the actual outcome of Pyromania was a hell of a lot more enjoyable than High and Dry, because it represented the band fully as we wanted to be represented at the stage, whereas we look back on High and Dry and think it was good to represent the band at that time, whereas like I say, Pyromania represents us at this particular time. So I suppose Pyromania was more enjoyable because of the actual finished thing, but all albums are just like you've just got to go in and do it and try and get the best out of it, really.
Coming up on Rockline, the John Butcher Axis, I'd like to say thanks to Def Leppard for a great record and also for being on Rockline. Thank you, Rick, Sav, Phil, Steeman, and Joe. It's been a pleasure,
thank
you guys.
Thank you very
cheers.
Much.
I'd
all right.
just like to say before
hang
we
on
go,
a minute, hang on.
Before
sure,
we
sure.
go, I'd just like to say, for all those people that have rung in or wanted to ring in and not had a chance to speak to us, we're sorry that you didn't get the chance, but hopefully you'll come and see us live, and we're going to put a show on that you'll never forget.
Little touch of class from Def Leppard for right now, Too Late for Love from the OP Pyromania on Rockline on the Global Light Network.